Hi everyone, this is Teresa from Parenting for Social Change, and we're so excited that you are here for the first live call that we're doing in the Liberation Parenting Immersion Program. And what I'm going to have us do first is go ahead and just do introductions. This recording is only going to be for those people who have are participating in the program, so it doesn't get distributed to anyone else. It'll just go out, and for those who weren't able to make the live call, then they have the recording available. And then for those of you who did, if you want to come back and listen to it, then you have the opportunity to do that as well. Joshua, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Joshua Grant, and I'm happy to be here.
Great. And then we also have two other people on the line. At this moment, we may have more join us because people's schedules are kind of flexing, as would be the case. So what we're going to do is, I think, Terry, are you, you're unmuted, right? Oh, Terry
I
and
am.
Katie are both. Okay, so why don't we have you introduce yourself just briefly, and then we'll get started.
Great. This is Terry DeMarco. I am from Newton, Massachusetts, and we are a recently new to unschooling family of five. So we have two twin boys who are seven and a daughter who is five. And we started deschooling in April of this year, right up as upon the Life Rocks Conference in New Hampshire.
Hi. I'm Katie, and I live in a suburb south of Chicago. And I started out homeschooling my kids. Well, my daughter went to three-year-old preschool, but I started homeschooling my kids right after that, and then kind of worked my way into unschooling throughout the years, and have been unschooling probably 3 years or 4 years now.
Great. All right. Fabulous. And if anyone else joins us, I'll have us I know at least three people had other commitments at this time, but if anyone else joins, I'll have them introduce themselves as we move along. So, great. So, you know, at the beginning, we started our emails at the beginning of the week, really just doing some introductions and kind of this big picture or overview of the kind of process that we're going to be going through during the five-week immersion program. And so much of the program is really based on this idea of transformative learning, and transformative learning is really something that where we go through a process that is not just about, you know, thinking in the head, but also incorporates the heart as well, and includes all of that. But what we do in a transformative learning process is try to bring to consciousness that which has remained unconscious, but has still the unconscious things in our lives, our experiences, maybe even some of our thoughts or feelings that we're not aware of. All of those things have influenced the ways in which we interact in the world and create this frame of reference for us as to how we view whether it's parenting or children and childhood or even food or media, whatever it might be. You know, that part of our process is to bring to consciousness that which has sort of submerged over the years through various processes. So the other part of transformative learning that I think is really a wonderful thing is that we take what our experiences are on a day-to-day basis, and we have transformed that into wisdom and knowledge, and understand that our experiences, what we're going through, whether it's a trigger or something else, we can really then access that and create greater understanding and knowledge. And in some ways, it's contrasted to sort of this content in traditional schools, right, and learning processes where, you know, content is considered the key, and that's handed down from a teacher to the student. You know, with transformative learning, our experiences create the ways in which we learn about ourselves and about the world and how we see things, and we translate or transform that experience into knowledge. And that learning, which we all, I know from what I've read about you all and what brings you here, that learning is really not just sort of this acquisition of information and facts, right? That it's development, learning as development. And the wonderful part about doing this as parents is that we're learning in relationship to others that are different from us, adults and children, and that we have the opportunity in our relationships and in those interactions, in our experiences with children, to learn through that relationship. And as a result, we also develop these empathic connections, and we open ourselves up to dialogue and connection and learning from each other, and in particular, learning from our differences and the different ways that we view the world. Because even though we started as children, you know, the ways that which our childhood experiences, the institutions we were a part of, whether it's schools or religious institutions or other institutions, all in some ways really shaped this frame of reference that we have. So often then we can through our experiences and our relationships with children, connect and open ourselves up and learn as well. You know, what I'm going to do is, Joshua, I'm going to pause for a moment. Serena just Facebooked me and is having trouble getting on the call. So, Joshua, I'm going to turn it over to you for a moment while I try to message her and get her on the call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
She's gone. Just to kind of add my own perspective on where Teresa was going, I'm a very visual person, and so as she was talking, I was getting all these different images of like my own experience from schooling and kind of being, you know, given all this information and then, you know, expecting to move forward in my life just with that information. And I think sometimes with parenting, you know, we can tend to do that, like, okay, let's get the proper parenting information, how we're supposed to be, and let's just take that information and try and implement it in our lives. And then as she was talking about, the word that really stuck out for me was kind of learning, you know, along this journey in an experiential way, and really seeing, like, my path to learning. And learning is kind of an odd word for me, but learning to be, you know, present and be there for my kids. And it comes from me really experiencing, you know, life as it presents itself. Like I didn't start my journey like full on present with them, and so by experiencing all the glitches and, you know, all the stuck places and really leaning into those was kind of part of my path to learning. So I was just throwing out my thoughts connected with what she was talking about. I'm not exactly sure where she was going to go after that, but. So, I just wanted to, hello?
Go ahead, where's she on?
What?
Go ahead, Joshua.
Who's that?
It's Teresa.
Is that Teresa?
Yeah.
Oh, you're back? Okay.
I haven't gotten off the call. I'm still trying to get
Serena
on.
Oh, you're on. Oh, you're on. Oh, I thought
I'm
you
on, so go ahead and keep going. Serena is, yeah.
I could challenge you to multitask in your sleep deprived state.
I know.
And I think it's I'm confused.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Pick
It Up, Mary.
So, I mean, Jess, I met you in New Hampshire, and
yeah.
I've spoken to you numerous times, and I know you use the term lean in. I was just, can you explain what you mean by lean in? I mean, I think I have an idea of what that means, but I would love to hear you describe it in your own words.
Well, for me, like, it's really just about getting aware of your own experience as it's happening. So often we're programmed when discomfort comes up that we just kind of pull back up into our head and we pull out of our actual, you know, real-time experience. And so leaning in is just, for me, it's a way to point to being really present and to be fully in your experience. So stress, get in the mind, okay, scurry, go do. Not like that, but just really pausing and just noticing, oh, I notice I'm feeling stress, and I notice this is what I'm experiencing right now. I'm feeling a heaviness. I'm feeling tension in my stomach, and really just leaning into it. And then as you keep doing that, you can kind of drop the story, and then you just get better and better at just being aware of your experience. Is
great.
That answer
helpful? Great. Thanks. Yes.
Yeah, one of the things that I think about it is, you know, so often, like, you know, when I think about the beginning of my journey, especially when I was really attached to attachment parenting, and, you know, and I was really focused on that, like, I had these thoughts about what I should be doing and the ways that I should be doing it. And some of it, you know, from the Facebook conversation we were having where, you know, oh, my parents, you know, were not comfortable when I expressed certain emotions, right? So I was really trying, I should let this happen, you know, in a certain way. I should let Martel express his feelings in a certain way, you know, whatever all that was, right? But then I would be having reactions to it, and then I would be judging those things, and I'd be resisting that I was upset that his anger made me uncomfortable, right? Because I should be comfortable with this. So some of the leaning in process for me was just to say, admit to myself, as some people I think did on our other conversation on Facebook, oh, I'm really uncomfortable with him being angry, you know, because my head would say, my mind, oh, if you're going to be supportive of his emotional development and a healthy connection to his emotions, you should be comfortable. And then I would be uncomfortable, and then I would resist, you know, that discomfort. So for me, some of it was the leaning into that discomfort, like, I'm feeling really uncomfortable with this. This is really making me uncomfortable. And this acknowledgement of it. And for me, that leaning in, that acknowledging the discomfort, the being willing to move towards that discomfort is really nurturing our own wholeness, right? So often in our own childhood, we were disconnected from those things that made adults uncomfortable around us, whether it was emotions or, you know, whatever it might be, right? The power that children have because they're so, you know, initially connected to who they are and they express that so openly that makes adults uncomfortable. Eventually we learn to kind of just shut those pieces off. So when we are willing to go back and nurture, ooh, I'm really uncomfortable and I don't want to be, ooh, but I'm really uncomfortable, we are in essence reconnecting to our wholeness, nurturing that wholeness of us, of who we are. And part of who we are is maybe we're uncomfortable with strong emotions because that's what we experienced as children, right? So in some ways, it's really about allowing ourselves, creating a space, opening it up, leaning. Josh and I will probably use lots of different terms, leaning into it, acknowledging it, embracing it, you know, just sort of creating that open space for wherever you are at right in that moment and allowing that to just be where you're at instead of resisting or fighting or whatever that is. And that process, you know, we call this liberation parenting immersion program on purpose. That really does liberate us. It liberates us from the should, from the, oh, I'm so committed to their freedom, I should be comfortable when they're free. Well, I'm probably not comfortable when they're free because I wasn't comfortable, you know, because my parents weren't comfortable with that or other adults around me weren't comfortable. And that's okay. That's where we're at, and that's part of our process. And so that's really so much of what we're trying to do, and in the process that we're going through over these 5 weeks. And in some ways, that the learning spiral that I think that went out in email, the second email.
Yeah. Yep. Number two.
Thank you, Joshua. You know, so much of the ways in which the reason that we put that out there as a way to think about our learning process is that, you know, when we're going through school, right, like learning is linear and it's compartmentalized, right? Well, so when you learn math, you do X, Y, and Z, and this is what you do, and that's what you're supposed to do, and you do math, and then you do social science, and then you do whatever it is. And so this learning spiral is really just the dynamic way that it's actually unfolding, right? So whether it, for me, it might have been around food issues, you know, and then I'm moving through that spiral, I'm reacting, I'm triggered, I try to create a little presence with that, I'm comfortable with even figuring that out. Oh, I have a few moments to understand and maybe reflect on, oh, this is where that came from, you know, I'm coming through that spiral, I'm experiencing more food issues, oh, here's another little piece of the, as Josh often refers to it, here's another glitchy piece that I can kind of be present with and then, you know, learn a little bit more through a reflection process. And so really that learning and life as organic, which so many of us are committed to, right, is part of that process. And the spiral, you know, is supposed to kind of represent that, so we really begin to let go of this. When I learn this piece, then I'm no longer going to be triggered by food, and then I'm going to be really clear, and when they eat ice cream all day, I'm not going to have any problem with it. Well, it kind of doesn't really work that way. You know, we really are in this process of, we have the experience, we're uncomfortable, we lean into it, we embrace it, we learn something, we have the experience again, we're learning more and more. And it's really sort of letting go in some ways and trusting in this process of life and the learning that's kind of represented by that learning spiral, that we're always going through that.
You know, I just want to, as I'm listening to talk, I had a revelation for myself because, so Teresa has her, and Terry, I felt the same way when I read her book. I was like, oh my God, thank God somebody put it on paper. You know, because I had been doing my own journey with my spiritual work, and I kind of came around it at a different way. But I was like, oh, yay, Soul Sister, thank you so much, you know, because I'm not, my brain doesn't kind of, you know, I so am, you know, blessed to be working with her and just blessed by her gift of clarity of, you know, putting it out there. And I was just, now something just clicked for me, Teresa, and the whole spiral thing. I was really trying to force my mind into a linear place with the spiral, because I was very curious with my own brain kind of getting confused about it. And how you just talked about it right now, I don't know, there was just some click where I just really got it on a deeper level. Because I do dance in a spiral, and I go from here and I go from there, but I think I was trying to make the spiral linear. So it's really great. So there you go. We all learn something new all the time. So yahoo. And then that's one of the reasons why I posted that story about you know, my journey with the whole sex talk and the discomfort and, you know, all that stuff, because it was such a long and windy kind of road, and there were many, you know, different aspects of it that would come up, you know, for me that, okay, be with this piece and then this piece and you know, just keep going around the spiral. Sometimes in my process, I have had events where you just, you know, click, boom, and you're done. And so there's that part of it too, but. Okay, just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that what Josh and I wanted to create through this process was, you know, we each, at our core, both have this belief that when we do our internal work, then, you know, we're able to create that presence with the children in our lives and just be there for whatever shows up. And, you know, I tend to approach it from this I sort of start with the head, and then I move into the heart. And what I love about Joshua is she's so present in the heart space about it that I think that what we wanted to do was to represent different ways that we come to this, and that all of it's good, because there may be tools either from the book or from, you know, the materials that are going to get sent out in the emails that you're like, wow, that's just not working for me. And great, put that tool back in the toolbox. Might be helpful later on, but here's another tool to try, so that our goal is to really present multiple ways of entering into it, doing work, connecting to ourselves, and that it's all good. So, yeah, journaling, don't journal. Who has time, right, to spend a lot of time focused on journaling and really, you know, especially when our children are younger, it's really hard to do that. So critical reflection can happen in just a moment, thinking about something. That's critical reflection. You know, thinking about that experience and then trying to understand it and move forward. Critical reflection is also, you know, as Joshua says, can be just that, you know, sinking into that space and being with it, and then insight might flash. So, you know, there's so many different ways for us to do it, and that's what we want to put out there, are different tools, different ways to do it. Yeah. Okay. So, Joshua, do you have anything else to add at this point as we kind of transition?
No, are you want to go, does anyone have, I guess the image that came to my mind was the triangle, and speaking a bit about that, or if people,
I think that comes in the email. Third, it comes in the third email,
okay.
That hasn't come yet.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So.
It was my faulty brain, people, sorry about that, okay.
Okay, so what we... Go ahead, Joshua.
Oh, that was Terry. I was going to ask a question.
Oh, that was... Yeah, that's what we're doing, Terry. So put it out. There we go.
Okay. So one of the biggest challenges I have in doing the inner work is that I have very low recollection of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't... Like, I don't know if I just had a brother who had a great memory, so I kind of offloaded and let him remember everything. Or if I just, you know, it wasn't so interesting and I didn't think about it. I also tend to be very future-focused and not so much past-focused, so I don't put a lot of value in past as much as I do as always looking forward. But how do you access some of this when you don't have a strong recollection of where some of these things may have come from? I mean, I can make a conscious thought about where they might come from, but I'm not sure that will get me where I need to go. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Joshua, do you want to?
I can. The more I move through this stuff, the more it appears that this story is not so relevant. So I wouldn't really, you know, if it's not coming, it's not coming. And a focus on the physical body and the experience of the energy, you know, connected to your feeling of the moment. And then if you just offer up the mind that this is a familiar feeling, you know, this is a reactive thing, and it's just offer to the mind that it's got to be connected to your past programming.
Okay.
Is that... You've read the whole book, and so you're on board with all that, those concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I think,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Joshua. You know, sometimes, you know, when I first started, and, like, there, you know, I had, from my own childhood, I don't always have very clear memories. And sometimes the memories just pop up, right, when I'm in, like, in that moment. All of a sudden, I will remember, oh, this is what happened. Now, you know, the little flash, like sometimes what will happen for me, Terry, is it's almost like this photograph pops up in my head, you know, and of something. And sometimes it doesn't. And so I think, as Joshua said, you know, just sinking in, like connecting to the body, sinking in and feeling what you're feeling, like, or, you know, I do a lot of talking in my head. So I talk in my head a lot, and I... sometimes recommend that, as Joshua was saying, you know, oh, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Oh, I have no idea what this is about. Sometimes what I will say just to open up the possibility is, oh, this feels familiar, as Joshua said, and I might even say this might even be connected to my past, and I don't know how, but it might be. So I open up that possibility in my mind that it might be, but I don't have to know exactly what it is. And just be there with that. So often I don't, you know, definitively say, oh, when I was six, you know, this is what happened and this is how it connected. Some of that just began to occur for me the more that I was willing to connect to my discomfort and my feelings. You know, like, I couldn't recall them without you know, initially, and then things would just pop up, and I'd say, oh, there's this little thread, and oh, look, I see it connected to something. And I don't even have to go back to that incident, you know, quote-unquote incident or experience. Sometimes all I have to do is say, oh, there's some connection. Oh, I had that feeling before. Oh, there it is. And it just opens it up a little bit, creates some space in me that feels like a relief, you know, like, whew, okay.
Okay.
I understand. And sometimes the understanding is, ooh, oh, it's connected somehow. That's the only understanding I might get from it.
Okay. Thanks.
And sometimes the story, if you've got access to your discomfort right there, you know, and you're just in the moment with your experience, sometimes it's just being with it. The story of connecting it with the past, it's a useful tool to activate it and to really get it, you know, to contact, because it's really about seeing our unseen moments, our unseen history. You know, there are these pockets of emotion and thought, you know, that are repressed, that didn't get seen, that didn't get acknowledged in our past, and it was too painful or too confusing or too whatever, so we just stuffed it and we stuffed it. I would just encourage you to just get fluid and flexible and just kind of name it in a generic way and don't get caught up in the story.
Okay.
Past or present. Huh. So, yeah.
That's helpful.
So, yeah, are there any in particular issues that have come up or things that, you know, this is also a time for us to talk about, you know, what's been going on for you this week? Have there been glitches or ways in which you've, you know, want to bring some thoughts or struggles forward? This is that space and time to do that as well, or ask any kinds of questions or bring things up.
Does Katie want to speak? I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Oh, you know what? Katie has herself on mute right now.
Okay.
Oh, she's off.
Sorry,
there
I just had to wait
to
mute myself.
Oh, no,
no, go ahead. I'm good.
So, Katie, any thoughts or questions or things you are thinking about over the last couple of days?
Nothing specific. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing that's coming up specifically.
Okay.
Well, I have one that is a recurring situation.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's been, I mean, I think that I'm on this path because it's a recurring situation, right? I mean, I think that everything I've done as a parent is trying to make sure that I can figure out how to better interact with my kids, but specifically one of my kids. But I have, I guess I would call it, I'd call it the fairness or give and take. Like, you know, we kind of, for me, the most recent iteration of this is that we've kind of taken this de-schooling approach where we're letting our kids, you know, command their day and decide what they want to do every day. And that, because I have children who can't be left alone in the house, it kind of forces me to then have my life beholden to what they're doing. So if the boys are playing Minecraft all day, I'm not going to the grocery store, we aren't doing activities with friends and all of that. So one thing that we are learning is that we can go out and do things, but I have to give a good amount of notice and make sure everybody buys in. So when I ask everyone to leave, that they'll go with minimal pain. There usually is some pain. And I'm getting better about warning for this. But, you know, I get quite angry when it's finally time to go do something that I've been looking forward to that isn't sitting in the house. And, you know, I get a lot of pushback from my kids where they run and hide in their beds because they don't want to go. And it triggers me amazingly well. Like it is, and it's an immovability, or like it's essentially, I feel all the tools in my bag have left at that point. because I feel like I've done everything that I was supposed to do by warning 72 or more hours in advance and giving a warning every day leading up, and then, you know, and talking about, you know, like seriously trying to do a give and take. And then when the pushback comes, you know, honestly, my kids are in, they're here and now at that point, and all they want to do is continue what they're doing right now. But I'm just really angry that they aren't realizing that, you know, hey, I don't mind you playing Minecraft 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, but once in a while we're going to go do something that's not Minecraft. And it's going to be something I want to do. And you don't have to have fun. And sometimes we'll bring computers and you can play there. You know, I do try to do that. Like, hey, can I get my kids on your network or whatever? But so, you know, it's that give and take is all I would say. And it is a big trigger for me. And it just, I feel like a caged animal. Like, I feel like I now have done everything that I felt I needed to do, and I'm mad that I'm not getting the pull through. You know, like they aren't following through on their end of the bargain. And it's probably not something they really want to do in the first place. Although once we end up going and they go, they have fun. It could be going to the beach. It could be going to Golden Gate Park. It could be doing things. But it's really hard to pull them away. And so, you know, it's hard for me because I feel like I have waited, you know, I have held off being upset about it for a long time. But when it comes down to it, I'm just mad that no one's doing the give and take with me at that point. And so it's more of a childish reaction that I have. Where it's like, I did all this for you and you're not doing this one little thing for me, you know? So anyway, that's one that I need to work on. And we are amending our lifestyle because I'm not sure if I need to get my kids to just come over to the way I want it to be, or if I should allow them to just live in, you know, controlling their own thing. And what I'm doing is putting another adult in the house so that I can go do the things I want to do and they can do the things they want to do and we don't have to do them together. And I'm not sure if that's the long-term solution. And sorry if it's a long question or statement. I don't know if that makes sense. But it's a really hard one for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from. I need to really think about it because it may be that as a kid I was forced to go do things that I didn't want to do. You know, I don't know.
So when you're having these, what you're triggered, right? It's in the moment. You have spent all the time building up to a smooth and easy transition, supposedly following the advice of everybody who says what to do, right? To make it easy.
Right.
And it's not working. So something that you said was, you know, that you feel like some of your feelings, the intense feelings, are you feel like a caged animal.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go back to that moment when you're having those feelings and just talk a little bit more, like what if you could just say, I feel like a caged animal when that happens. I feel like, you know, what else?
I feel like I no longer have, like there are no tools in my bag. Like I have exhausted every possible tool and now it's physical removal. Like the only thing left is to physically remove the child. Like carry, and they're getting too big to do this. So you can't carry them out to the car anymore. And, you know, and I think in reality, I believe that the reason my children dig in is because they see me spiraling into anger. And that's where their dig in comes. And that if I can stop the spiral into anger, I probably can get them to come along. But it, you know, it catches me. It's not every time, but it catches me off guard. And it's mostly, I don't know. I say caged animal because I feel like I have nowhere else to run. Like there, you know, I wanted to do something. I looked forward to going somewhere. And essentially because my six-year-old, this is my little petty stuff, right? My six-year-old is dictating to me what my life is. And I don't get to dictate my own life anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would say is that, you know, I'm sitting at home 6 days a week in my house, which to me is like what I did as a kid all the time, you know, like I didn't do much, right? My parents both worked. I was a latchkey kid. I sat at home. I entertained myself. And I, you know, and I feel like I'm just, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It just, and it's, it is that feeling. I mean, I can feel it in my bones right now. But it's that, it's feeling stuck, like stuck and not able to just go do what I want, you know, and it, I don't know, maybe that's what it is, you know, I just.
So I'm just going to interject in here. So as you're talking and you're saying you feel it in your bones, this is a really great moment to get that lean in, you know,
yeah.
Pete?
Mm-hmm.
So just pause right here and just kind of pause on all the story and just really lean into your body, you know, and just feel what the body feels like right now, telling a story about it, and you're kind of activated. And can you feel the energy moving in the body?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's all the lean-in thing. It's just kind of like, okay, you know, it's just a really tense moment, and I'm really feeling all this stuff, and I'm just going to be with it, and I'm just going to allow it instead of pushing it away. And instead
right.
of trying to find the solution such that I get what I want, such that the kids do blah, blah, blah. So they're triggering you, and so you're having this body response to it, right? And you used a couple really great words, like here's my six-year-old. You know, they feel very, it feels very childish. And so this is what's happening from my perspective is that you, in these moments, your own inner kid gets activated. And
right.
so you don't have access to your calm, clear, present adult, right?
Right.
And so really, you're being triggered in this inner child moment. So it's just your six-year-old trying to get, you know, their feelings felt. And so then what your job is, you know, and, you know, as we move through this whole process, it's for you to begin to create this separation from the inner kid place and then your present adult. So then you can have your present adult be present for your inner kid. So you're doing two things at once. You're really witnessing, you're leaning into the experience, you're acknowledging all your emotions and all your feelings and all your thoughts that are coming up. So it says, I see. You know, I see you, six-year-old, and I see what you're experiencing. So you want to unplug from the drama of the moment, and you want to really connect with yourself, you know, and all the emotional stuff that's happening.
And I think one of the ways that I have found myself doing that, if I, you know, when I first started, because Joshua has talked with me about this as well, is, and Joshua, you may even have given me this visual, is that I think, you know, when I'm in that moment, and you did use some really great words when you said, you know, caged animal, my six-year-old is dictating to me, this is what I had to go through as a kid all the time, I was stuck in the house, feelings of what seemed like powerlessness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a word? That you feel
mm-hmm.
powerless.
So
that six-year-old that you were, who had no power to create a different experience, right? You were stuck at home.
Right.
You didn't have the ability to get in a car and drive yourself to the place you wanted to go when you were a child. You were stuck there. So it just makes total sense that you would feel this sense of powerlessness from that powerlessness you had as a child.
Right.
So when Josh is saying the inner child, if you think about yourself in that moment as that little six-year-old or eight-year-old or whatever age it was when you felt that power, you don't even have to know what age, it doesn't matter. And there you are, and you're going to her, and you're sitting next to her. There's the little Terry as a child, and there's the mom, Terry. And you're going there, and you're really just saying to her, I understand. I'm with you. You know, maybe you feel powerless or whatever those things are. So if you can even imagine yourself as the adult going to the child that you were and just being with her while she's sad and feels powerless and feels upset and has no one she can talk to because her parents are working hard. She's not going to complain to her parents, right, about being stuck at home.
Right.
Probably not something you could have done as a child. So the triggering that your son brings up in you is just that opportunity to be present with the little girl that you were as adult mom, right? Being the mom to yourself that you didn't have, and allowing yourself to feel all of those petty feelings. So they're, you know, we learn they're petty. We may have been told they were petty as a child. We may have been told, you know, that's silly, just, you know, get over it. It's not a big deal. You know, you complain to whatever those things are that you may have heard that you may not even remember, but that minimize your feelings. You know, the words that you use are this great, like, window. I just have these petty feelings. Well, you need to let yourself, that little girl, have those quote-unquote petty feelings. Just let her be that, in that place. So that, you know, it just makes a lot of sense that if you felt powerless as a child and stuck, that when your six-year-old then it feels as though he's controlling your ability to get back, get out of the house and to do what you have waited to do, right? Mm-hmm. You have, you know, paid your dues and I'm waiting to do this and now I can't do it and the rug has been pulled out from under me, right? It just brings up those feelings of powerlessness from your childhood. You don't even have to know what the incidents were. All you know, it's just, oops, I'm feeling powerless. Oh, here it comes. Be with it. Be the mom to the child that you were that couldn't feel those feelings safely, that couldn't express them.
Got it.
And you know what's really great, too, is that, because that's why this kind of parenting and being with the kids, it's so great for your own personal process, because you remove that option for coercion and control, right? So it'd be get your ass in the car, and that's where we're going. End of story, right? Then you don't have to deal with all this stuff, right? But since we're opening the door and we're taking away this external, you know, control thing, it's there you go. So it's beautiful. Right. It's a beautiful journey, and it's such a beautiful tool.
Yep.
And to me, what I have found in my own process is when something's triggering me. With the child, one of my children, with Martell or Grayson, then there's something I gotta move toward. Oop, there it is. Something I may have been avoiding, something I didn't want to, you know, move toward, something I didn't want to lean into. Oh, here it keeps coming up. You know, it's just that opportunity to do it. And as you go through that process, then. What I have found is the clearer than I am about, you know, what my needs are separated from that reaction, right, the trigger, when I'm able to get some clarity around the trigger and move toward that discomfort and then, you know, integrate the feelings of powerlessness from my past and, you know, really empower myself again in that process, is that, you know, when I'm clear, they're not mirroring this fighting back thing with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because really, Grayson, when I have had similar experiences of feeling controlled and feeling like I cannot get out of the house, not working for me, that's when he was most resistant. When I wasn't in reaction to something, he wasn't triggering something in particular that I needed to move toward and integrate, then leaving was really easy, right? It would be like, oh, I've got to go do this thing and this is what I'm doing. And he would be like, okay. But when I wasn't clear and I needed to work through my own issues and be willing to open myself up to whatever I was feeling that I might have been denying, then that's when he would show up, you know, as this, you got to pay attention, Mom. Here's something you got to do. So I'm going to show you and I'm going to be in this place for you.
Well, right, and I laugh because I have three kids, so invariably there's somebody showing me something in most weeks.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Funny.
It's just an opportunity, and you can resist the opportunity, right? You could even be in that place of, and I have been there. So when we talk about this, right, Terry, it's not about like, oh, tomorrow you're going to be able to implement this perfectly, right? So, you know, it's really important for us to just be with wherever we're at. So to not feel like, oh, Josh and Teresa talked about this and now I can't do it. Sometimes I will just be in, I am resisting this and I do not want to deal with it, and that's just where I'm at.
No, and I mean, I completely understand that, and I will say, like, I have done a lot of work. Like, it takes, I get triggered probably once every 3 to 4 weeks now. Like, it's not all the time.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when it comes hard, and, you know, and it just, like, it's a spiral. But, you know, when it happens, you know, my husband gets sometimes the brunt of it as well. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that's definitely, and I live with 2.5 introverts and 1 extreme extrovert, so. And I'm kind of in between.
Yeah.
I wonder, I always think if I was a true extrovert when I first started out and I tempered it because that worked for my introverted parents. But, and I fear of doing that to my daughter who is an extreme extrovert. So I'm trying not to fear it from a law of attraction standpoint, but I think about it. I should have to use my words correctly. I think about it a lot because I want to make sure that she doesn't stifle parts of her personality because it's not acceptable or something. I don't know, but interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to find this Wayne Dyer. I don't know if anyone's seen it recently, but he's got this great cute, it's just a little short story about like what do you get when you squeeze an orange?
Mm-hmm.
And you get orange juice, right? Have you guys already heard this one? And then,
nope.
And then, well, why do you get orange juice out of an orange when you squeeze it? And because, well, that's what's inside. And so then it's like, well, what do you get when you get squeezed? Like when you get pressure or you get stuff squishing at you from the outside, and you get what you get. Right? Like you get triggered, you get angry, and it's kind of like, why? Well, because it's in there. So these aren't flaw. It's not a bad thing. Triggers are, I just want to throw this, they're not a bad thing. They're just there. And it's just unintegrated emotional stuff from your past that wants to come out. And so I think that's a really helpful perspective too. Like, yay, great, because it's in there.
Got it.
So.
You know, we had someone join us. The last 4 digits are 8512, and I think they're muted. But if you want to unmute yourself, it's *6, and just say hi. And if you have any questions, we're kind of just in the what issues are coming up for you. Hello?
Yes, hello. It was me. I'm Gwyneth from living in Virginia near D.C.,
Hey, Gwyneth, thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hello. I don't really have many issues that I can think of, really. I've had one or two struggles in the past week that I'm trying to get on top of, but I can't really think of any issues that I'm having so far.
Okay.
Yay! Yay for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about, like, the, you know, the program or the dynamics of, you know, working with your triggers or any
oh, no. I don't have any questions about that. I'm pretty familiar with working with my triggers. I've been doing that for a little while now, so I know a bit about that.
Cool. All right. Well, Gwyneth, if something comes up while we're talking, it's really just the open time, so feel free to jump in, or if you have thoughts or things, you know, something pops into your head, that's what we're here for, so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks. I'll do that.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? And we're not committed to forcing you to stay on the line for the full hour and a half. since we're in the beginning of the process and we just had a couple of emails this week before our first call, so we can end when people feel like it's a good time to end, but we also still have time for anything that people have that they want to bring up.
And I thought that I would go ahead and do a little closed eye process if everybody is up for that.
Let's do it, Joshua.
Do it. Okay. So if you can just kind of get in a comfortable spot and take a few deep breaths and just kind of breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out. And this is just a little process just to connect yourself with your inner kid so you can have a little more to work with through the coming weeks. And so just feel the body and feel the breath, and you can, you know, let your eyes slowly close and just feel your breath going in and out and in and out. And we're just going to go on a little walk. And so if you can just imagine a path in front of you and just see the path as it extends out and make it in a place in nature. So whatever that means for you, if it's a rocky mountain path or a winding path through a grassy meadow, and see the trees, if there are any trees, and just notice and see if you can feel the air. And bring your awareness to any sounds that you might hear, or any birds, or... And just keep moving forward on the path. And as you keep walking forward on the path, you're going around a corner. And you can hear children across playing, and you see a playground in front of you. And you notice a bench, and you stop, and you have a seat on the bench, and you see all these kids playing, and they all look really happy, and they're just playing, and there's a swing set, and there's a teeter-totter, and there's lots of action, and people running and skipping and doing all kinds of playtime things. And then as you look up, you notice a small child there, probably about 6 or 7. And the child looks at you, and you look at the child, and you make eye contact, and you call the child over. And you notice that it looks very familiar. This child looks how you look. And you give each other a little nod and a smile. And just be aware of what this connection feels like, and see if you can notice what the child is feeling. Are they excited to see you? Are they a little bit leery and not so sure about what's happening? And just notice the emotional exchange that's happening. You really want to honor, you know, the experience of the child. You can invite the child to sit down next to you and see what that feels like. Might be a nice, easy connection. It might be kind of a, nice to see you connection. Just feel what it feels like. And just impart to this child that you're here and you'd really like to make a connection and you'd like to be there for this child and to hear the stories this child wants to tell you, to support this child in feeling their feelings. And just really be aware of what's happening. And And then you can tell this child that you're going to come back in and check and come have more chats. And just honor the child's response. If the child happens to feel like, oh, don't go, you can totally invite the child to come with you. If the child's happy to go back and play on the playground and they're like, okay, thank you, and we'll see you later, then just go with that. Just really honor what's unfolding before you. And so you can just get up from the bench. And you can go back onto the path. And then just follow the path back to where you started. And then bring your awareness back into the body. And notice your breath again. Wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers, and you can open your eyes whenever you're ready. So if anybody wants to share, they can share what that experience was like. Or not. Don't feel like anybody to share. I was kind of doing it with everyone as it was happening, and it was a nice connection in my history of doing this. When I first met my inner kid, it was kind of a kind of check you out kind of thing. And now she's very playful and kind of confident. She's happy to go back on the playground and just do her own thing. So it was nice for me to revisit that. You can also just use that age or that image, when you get triggered and you want to tap in and connect with your inner self, you've got a really good visual to go from with that.
So, Joshua, I had an interesting reaction to it. This is Teresa, and I found myself resisting doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I think about the age, that 6, 7, 8-year-old little girl, I often think about sadness, right? And not wanting to go back to being sad about what was happening in my family's life around that time.
Mm.
And so that was my experience, was like, oh, I really don't want to go visit her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels scary. So that was interesting to me because, I've done a fair amount of work around it, right? But the actual thought, the experience of being in it and going to see her, not around a particular thing, right?
Right.
Just around whatever might come up felt a little threatening and scary. Like, ooh, what is she going to bring up? What might happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my reaction.
Good spiral.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts? Comment from anyone else?
So I saw nothing. I went around the corner and saw the playground and the kids playing and then sat down and I saw no one come over. So it may take me a little while practicing that one.
Yeah, definitely. And really, it's just it's creating a pathway for communication. And, mm-hmm. And it might not be your favorite tool to use, too. Some people, it's a flow and it works, and some people, it's a way to personify, your stuck stuff. So it might not be your path, and it might take some time. You know, it might take a little practice, and, you know, maybe you could just do that as a daily meditation. You could just go sit on that park bench. You know, now you've got a great visual, and you just go, hey, anybody there? Here I am.
Interesting.
And I've been in either supporting somebody working through it, or I think in some instances for myself, and it's really, you know, it's like getting to know a child in real life, you know, and it's like, it's fascinating. I'm always fascinated by the mental imagery. It's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Right. Or is there anything else? Anyone? So I would encourage people to, if you feel comfortable and you are on the Facebook group, to post there as we go along. And if you haven't yet gotten on the Facebook group and you want to be on it, just, you know, shoot us an email and we can make that happen as well. Yeah, and I think we're rolling. We're excited to have you with us and be with you for the next 5 weeks. Josh and I have been working on it and putting things together, and we're really excited to be with everyone in this journey as we move forward. Joshua, you want to say anything in closing?
I was thinking that I am... with regards to the Facebook, and I'll post this on the Facebook page, but for people getting this, whatever, this call, that I would have, because I've got some chunks of time that are computer time, and I thought that I would leave the window open so there could be some real-time chat happening if people are interested in that. But I'm not exactly sure how to do that within the group. I know I've been in some groups where there's been a chat window where you can chat within the group. So
while you're on the conference call, you mean?
No, while you're, you know, just, okay, I'm going to be on Facebook and available for chatting, you know, because it's, you know, instead of a post, which is, a post are great and they're fine, you know, and then you have, and then you can reflect and you can read and share, you know, that way. But it's also, it's a really fun, I mean, the Facebook group is, you know, a big part of this, you know, process. So, well, you know, just to give people an opportunity to engage in real time, you know, if there's something that day. So,
I think that would be great. So,
yeah, I think I'll ponder that time chunk that I can commit to that and do that. So, but other than that, I look forward, you know, as we move through each lesson that comes through in the emails. Yeah.
I
Ooh,
love the joyful noise.
Yay. Okay. Well, great. I will download the recording and post it so it's available for anyone who either wants to come back to it. You could even go to that guided meditation piece that Joshua did and, you know, do that part again, which I may, you know, avoid for a while, but might try, Joshua, again. And then we will be back on the call, and I will make sure that my emails reflect the 7 p.m. Eastern time. And if not, you'll know it's still 7 p.m. Eastern time, and Teresa is just sleep deprived. So, yeah, great. So thank you all for taking the time out and joining us on the call and post anything on Facebook and just let us know what you need. That would be great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
I have a good night, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right, Sasha, you there?
Clear. I feel like a surgeon. Okay. Clear.
All right. Are you clear?
Are you unrecorded?
Oh, let me unrecord us.